Let's go to the phone lines right away, not waste any time. Let's continue this conversation. You hear him on the VanCast. You hear him with Sakaris and Price. You hear him with Donnie and Moj. Now you're hearing him here on Sportsnet 650. Jeff Patterson joins us now on the Halford M. Brough Show. Good morning, Jeff Pat. How are you?
Hello, boys. Doing all right?
We've had a lot of different conversations about the Vancouver Canucks today, but we've spent an extraordinary amount of time talking about the head coaching situation. We've talked about Travis Green not having a contract for next season. We talked about where those contract negotiations might be. We talked about if Green has the leverage because he could go to market and potentially shop around for other gigs, or maybe the Canucks have the leverage because they're the ones that have the job availability. And there are a lot of guys that don't have jobs right now, and a lot of coaches that do have pretty good resumes, guys like Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau, Claude Julien. Now, Jeff, I'm curious. We've talked about this all year long, and I think we've exhausted a lot of different avenues. But as it sits right now, what is it, April 14th, with just 19 games left in the regular season before Travis Green is out of contract, what do you make of this situation as it stands right now?
Well, when I listened to Jim on Monday after the trade deadline, he was asked yet again about the future of Travis Green, and It took me back in time exactly a year ago to the Judd Brackett situation. Now, Judd, it was different circumstances. I don't think he was looking for a whole lot more financial security. There were obviously some autonomy issues in and around the scouting department. But if you remember, and look, I remember because I was the guy that was asking questions quite often. Every media availability that we had with Jim Benning a year ago, people asked about Judd Brackett's future. And Jim would say, well, we'll talk about it after the All-Star break. We'll talk about it after the trade deadline. We'll talk about it after the season. And then the release came, Judd Brackett no longer works for the Vancouver Canucks. And it just sort of feels like every media availability Jim has been asked about a contract for Travis Green going back to the offseason, going back to the first day of training camp, the midseason availability. And every time he says, we'll talk about it after the season. Well, there's 19 games to go if they complete all 19. And that's up in the air, certainly, given the events of the last 24 hours. And so I am starting to wonder. Like, I think that this organization, I get they're in the midst of a pandemic. They're not selling tickets. They're not holding concerts at Rogers Arena. I get that there are cash flow problems for the hockey club compared to normal times. But if the Canucks had truly wanted to signal to Travis Green and the organization top to bottom that they believed in Green and that they wanted some stability, I think they could have found a way to structure a contract. And I think Travis is a bright enough guy to recognize the COVID situation that maybe he doesn't see a huge raise in year one, but you back end load it. And eventually he would get paid, you know, in the area that he's looking to get paid. Mm-hmm. Look, they just committed $35 million to Thatcher Demko and Tanner Pearson. And those deals aren't for now. Like, they don't kick in until next season, and neither would a contract for Travis Green. So I think there are ways. I think there are ways that the Canucks could have come up with a deal that would have satisfied Travis Green. But and I know you guys have talked about this throughout the morning. We don't know what the ask is from Travis's side. And so maybe it is just too big a gulf right now for them to bridge. But the clock is ticking towards the end of the season when he will be free to shop himself. But I also wonder, like, he's come this far with this group 4 years, getting to work with Pettersson and Hughes and Besser. We know that Jim Benning asked for patience for 2 more years. Like, I do think that Travis Green wants to finish what he has started here, but at the same time, you know, he's a human being and he wants to get his fair value on the market. And so as it sits, like, I hear that clock ticking towards the end of his contract here in Vancouver now.
Do you think it is purely a financial thing? Just negotiations? Jim Benning has said, he hasn't said we'll talk about the Travis Green situation like he did with Judd Brackett. He said, we really like Travis Green and when we want to bring his coaching staff back. So it's not like, oh, we'll deal with this later. What I can gather from that is he hasn't received the budget approval to meet what Travis Green is asking for. Do you think there could be something else there, though? Do you think there could be a temptation from the Canucks to see what's out there in terms of coaches and maybe trying to get an upgrade if they think there is an upgrade out there?
Well, yeah. I mean, because, again, if they thought that Travis Green was the guy, I think there's been lots of time here to commit to him. And so maybe That is how we should read the situation, that there are issues around his style. I think Travis Green's been a pretty good fit for the market as a guy that travels and was in his face on a daily basis. Like, I think he's got a good read on the market. I know for a fact that he hears and reads just about everything that is said about him and the hockey club. So I think he's in tune to this marketplace. I think he's handled his media duties well, but ultimately he's paid to deliver wins. And let's be honest here. He has not punched his ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs in 4 years as a head coach. He got invited to an expanded playoff field of 24 teams last year. But if you remember, on February 1st, after that 14-3 run, the Canucks had a 9-point cushion on the playoff chase pack. And by the time COVID hit, they were right back on the bubble. And there was no guarantee with 13 games to go that the Canucks are going to be a playoff team had it been the traditional, you know, 8 teams in each conference. So they got invited to the expanded tournament, and that's where he did some of his best work. And I know you guys talked about that. I think we all agree. In the St. Louis series, he pushed the right buttons. He made it in-game and between-game adjustments, and he helped the Canucks dispatch the defending Stanley Cup champs. And, yeah, they got to, you know, a handful of minutes left in Game 7 against Vegas, even though they had been outplayed badly in that series. So, you know, there was certainly some work that was done by the coach in his first taste of Stanley Cup playoff action behind the bench. And we saw what it meant to him, that classic photo after the Tanev overtime goal against Minnesota where he's punching the, you know, the big fist pump in the air. Like, he was into it, as you would expect any coach would be, getting a chance to work in the playoffs. But I do wonder if there are other issues behind the scenes that we just don't know about that have the Canucks wondering if he's the guy to take this group to the next level. A lot of times we'll hear that about coaches, that, you know, they can get the team to a certain point, but maybe they need a different voice and some different tactics behind the bench. So maybe that's something we're looking at. But, you know, if we're talking about the Canucks looking at some of these veteran guys that are out on the market, well, Mike Babcock's not working for free. Neither is Bruce Boudreau or Gerard Gallant. So if it's a money thing, and we're talking about the Canucks turning to a veteran head coach, they're going to be paying him. So, you know, you can't say, well, it's a money thing with Travis Green, but it's not a money thing if you're going to open up the purse strings and go out into the market and find a guy that is going to command a decent salary, you know, as a head coach in the National Hockey League. I do wonder a little bit for Travis, too. I mean, BC boy, we get that. He said it repeatedly. Like, he does want to be here. Is the grass greener elsewhere? Like, I don't know where the openings are around the National Hockey League. I can speculate, but, you know, do you really want to go into Buffalo if that's an option? Do you really want, like, Carolina is a good team, but man, they do some funky business there. I don't know if as a head coach, that's necessarily where you want to put yourself.
I don't think he's going to get more money in Carolina than he would in Vancouver.
Right. And Arizona, like, again, there's so many dynamics in play. Rick Tocchet is in the same boat Travis is. Rick Tocchet is probably Travis Green's best friend among the coaching fraternity in the National Hockey League. Like, that would be awkward to me. Plus, we know the issues, longstanding, and they're not going away anytime soon down in the desert. So, you know, there's some precarious situations elsewhere. Seattle expansion, it is strange to me that the Kraken don't have a head coach yet. And, a BC boy who played his junior hockey in Washington State in Spokane and coached in Portland. Like, there's a, you know, you could build a nice story if that was your guy from the ground up. If it was Gerard Gallant, I think Seattle would have had that deal in place long ago. And that makes me think that the Kraken are looking, you know, in a different direction for their first ever head coach. But I also wonder, you know, you're Travis Green, you've had a taste of the NHL now 4 years. And do you really want to start at, you know, square one with a bad team and work your way? Or is he looking to put himself in a position where he wants to win? I know that about Travis Green. He's a competitive guy. He was that way for almost 1,000 games in the National Hockey League as a player, and he's a competitive guy behind the bench now. So, you know, we don't know, because he is a poker player, has kept his cards pretty close to his vest about, you know, ultimately what he's looking for in all this. All I know is with 19 games left on their schedule, in a story that has been discussed to death in this market, he's still without a contract extension beyond this season. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's a story now, as it has been throughout, and it will continue to be, probably monitored on a daily basis now as the Canucks get back to work here to try to complete this season.
We're speaking to Jeff Patterson here on the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Jeff, another thing we've spent a considerable amount of time discussing today is the Adam Gaudette situation. I won't rehash all of said situation for the listeners, so I'll simply ask you your thoughts on the Adam Gaudette situation.
Yeah, I felt like a bunch of paperwork on Monday, essentially. It was pretty underwhelming. I'm not surprised that the Canucks moved on from Adam Gaudette. I think there were warning signs in the bubble last summer when he didn't get into the lineup on a regular basis, and when he did, didn't have any points, and really was not an impact guy in any way. A lot of times when Travis went short in his bench, Adam Gaudette was the first guy that found himself parked if they were up a goal or down a goal. And, you know, I wanted to believe that the lessons would be learned there, and then he came into this season, lost his job as a third-line center. Not entirely his fault. I mean, the team was spiraling early defensively, and I think Travis Green was just looking for any sort of Band-Aid solutions. But Adam Gaudette certainly didn't help his cause with a bit of a sluggish start, with a healthy scratch four times, and played out of position. You know, like, I think the Canucks gave him opportunities, and there just wasn't a whole lot there. And I know the underlying numbers suggest that he should have been a little more productive, but we can talk about shoulda, coulda. Ultimately, he didn't, and he's not the only guy on this hockey team. But, you know, the Canucks wanted Gaudette to take a step. Jim said that the other day. They wanted Jake Virtanen to take a step. They wanted Zach MacEwen to take a step forward, and I don't think any of those guys has. And, in fact, all three were healthy scratches on the same night in Toronto back in early February. And I thought that was sort of a telling night that Travis Green kind of throwing his hands in the air, and he went with Louis Erickson, and he went with Justin Bailey, because these guys that were supposed to be pulling on the rope, none of them were getting it done. So, you know, were there other issues at play? Certainly sounds like, again, whether it was Gaudette asking for more ice time and a more prominent role, or whether it had to do with his role in all of this COVID that has been brought into the organization, whatever the case, the Canucks moved on. Now, the return was pretty underwhelming. I'll give Matthew Highmore an opportunity to try to make a name for himself, but, you know, is he any different than Jimmy Vesey or Travis Boyd or Jace Hauerluck? Like, they're compiling this group of guys that they think can play in the NHL, but they're not quite sure. And if they do, where do they slot in? And, you know, their price points are all attractive, I guess, and affordable. So that's a step in the right direction. But ultimately, like, what are the Canucks trying to assemble in their bottom six? I think that's been a question that's been asked for a long time here. We know that they've got this core group to build around, but is Matthew Highmore any better than the pieces that they've already got in place? I guess we'll find out when he gets out of quarantine. And I think the same goes for, you know, Madison Bowie now into his fourth NHL organization. He'll be 26 next week. Usually by this stage of your career, you are what you are. But Bowie is a remarkably confident guy. He did a Zoom with the media yesterday. You know, he believes that he's got a whole lot more to show here. I just wonder how many more opportunities is he going to get? He's expansion eligible, so he meets some requirements that the Canucks had to set forth. So he checked off that box at the very least. Can he play? I don't know. And again, like, is this really going to be the best way to find that out about anybody? 19 games in 31 nights if they play them all up against it, coming off COVID. Like, you know, I've thought about this a lot this week. Like, I just don't know how any of us can or will assess and grade what we see from the Canucks the rest of the way. Like, really, what is the point? What is the point of these games? And what does it matter what happens in these games? Is it fair to truly assess anybody on their performance given what the Canucks have been here through the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think you have to be careful when you make those assessments, but I would say it's better than nothing. And two, whether or not Matthew Highmore or VC or Travis Boyd are fits, you know, at least they're trying, you know, at least they're bringing in some new faces. I'm curious how the lineup is going to be different from game to game down the stretch here. 19 games in 31 days. I don't need really to see Roussel. Like, I know what Roussel is. Cole Lind, correct me if I'm wrong, Cole Lind is in Vancouver, correct?
He is, yeah.
Okay.
He's on the taxi squad.
He's on the taxi squad, so there would be no quarantine for him if he were to get a chance. Have you seen what Jonah Gadjevich is doing down in Utica? He's got 11 goals in 12 games.
It's impossible to ignore. And I will admit that I was one of the guys that maybe thought that his NHL future had passed him by already.
Totally. Like, I'm in the same boat as you. I was like, meh. Well, you know, he's not producing points and there are issues about his skating. Well, now he is producing points, goals. And I don't know what his skating is like, but I'd sure like to see, I'd sure like to find out at the NHL level if he could keep up, because I'm kind of off the Zach MacEwen train. Like, I think Zach MacEwen had plenty of chances this year, and I don't think he really took advantage of it all that well. I would like to see Jack Rathbone, but I don't know. The reason I asked if Cole Lind is with the team is I know that Gadjevich and Rathbone are in Utica, so are the Canucks going to bother calling those guys up to play down the stretch with all the red tape and the quarantine time that it does take? Because they need to also field teams in Utica.
Right, and I think those are all fair and valid questions. I think first it has to start with a roll call here in Vancouver. And, you know, when I said the events the last 24 hours, that today was supposed to be the first full practice for the Canucks. The building was supposed to be open to the media, and around 5 o'clock last night, the Canucks tweeted out that, oh, hang on a sec, we're bumping everything back a day. And so it's going to be limited on-ice sessions. We don't know how many or who. Some off-ice workouts. And now the first practice is supposed to be Thursday. Well, they're playing Friday. And they're not just playing Friday. They play at 6 o'clock Friday and at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Like, I don't think a lot of people have made enough about that deal. But, you know, the Leafs coming to town, of course, it's going to be the 4 o'clock start on Saturday. But they're back to work. It's 3 weeks today since they've played a game. It's 2 weeks today since they've been on the ice as a group. And now they're going to get one practice with who knows who's available to them. And that includes the coaching staff. And now they're supposed to play a game at 6 o'clock Friday and then the quick turnaround to 4 o'clock Saturday against the Leafs. Like, at every turn, this thing makes less and less sense. It just feels like, you know, the deck is so stacked against the Vancouver Canucks. And as we sit here today on Wednesday morning, like, we just don't know who's come out of COVID. We know that Quinn Hughes came off the protocol list yesterday, but 16 players still remain on that league protocol list. Now barely 48 hours away from a scheduled return to play. So it's a mess. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. And as far as call-ups from Utica and guys on the taxi squad, like, right now, both Thatcher Demko and Braden Holtby remain on the protocol list. Mm-hmm. Now, they could come off in the next couple of days, but we don't know how they've come through COVID. You could be looking at Mikey DiPietro getting thrown in against McDavid and Dreisaitl on Friday night, and Artur Silovs making his NHL debut against the league's leading goal scorer, Austin Matthews, on Saturday with who knows what kind of defense in front of him. Like, I honestly think, like, those are some of the realistic conversations that we may be having here in the next couple of days around the Vancouver Canucks and their return to game action.
Jeff, great stuff today, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week and the return to action for the Canucks. We'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.